tackling tough topics to help you think reasonably about life's most important issues. This is Thinker Sensitive. Welcome to Thinker Sensitive. I'm your host, Ryan Ragazine, and we are now in our fifth episode of our introductory season. Today, we're going to be talking about two very important values of mine. Number one, freedom, and number two, civility. Censorship is a growing issue and a growing concern of mine in the information age, where huge tech companies and massive private social media corporations are able to play the role of the parent or the court in our society, making decisions on what's acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is appropriate and what is not appropriate, what can be said and what cannot be said. Of course, the validity or invalidity of cancel culture is also a major topic for debate here, but not today. That'll be for a podcast in the future at some point. Another issue is the overall cultural diminishing of civility. It's another growing issue and a growing concern of mine. Vitriol, name-calling, venom, hatred, villainization, demonization are all becoming more and more commonplace in contemporary discourse. Again, just log on to YouTube and view the comment sections. Okay, it's full of vitriol, full of name-calling. I avoid the comment section on YouTube like a plague for this reason. Unfortunately, both of these problems start at the top, with our politicians and representatives insulting each other and trying to censor each other on a regular basis. Thinker Sensitive wants to try to offer an alternative. We want to be different. So let's look at what Thinker Sensitive believes about these two central values of ours. First, we are free thinkers and true or classical liberals. That is, we believe in free thought and free speech with very few exceptions. We believe in questioning everything, not necessarily to reject, but sometimes even to refine or strengthen our beliefs. We believe in thinking through everything, making informed decisions. We are against both a priori dismissiveness and a priori acceptance of ideas. In other words, we're against blind, unsupported, and baseless dismissiveness of ideas. We're also against blind, unsupported, and baseless acceptance of ideas. And these things are found on both sides of the aisle today. And they're found on both sides of the church walls today as well. We're concerned about the shrinking public square and various forms of censorship, whether subtle or overt, in the contemporary marketplace of ideas. See, we believe in a true, open, free marketplace of ideas, with very few exceptions. We believe that there are many cultural assumptions, conventions, and structures that are highly questionable and deserve to be challenged. We are critics in this sense, but with the purpose of building up, not tearing down. We also value civility. So as free thinkers and classical liberals, we are truly tolerant of different or opposing viewpoints. We are truly tolerant of philosophical, theological, political, ethical, cultural disagreements and alternative ideologies. And we hope that people would reciprocate this tolerance, would be able to reciprocate this tolerance to us. As Christians specifically, we respect and love others in the midst of radical difference. As a Christian, I hold the value of loving our neighbors as ourselves and loving those who believe differently than we do. I hold that value dear. We respect and love others in the midst of radical difference, though we don't necessarily expect this love to be reciprocated by all people. Another thing is we desire constructive conversations. All throughout my life, I've desired to have real, authentic conversations with people. Real, authentic conversations with people who didn't see things the same as me, didn't see eye to eye on different issues or ideas. But wanting to have those real conversations, wanting to have fruitful dialogue with those who believe differently. And I believe that that's possible. I don't see it very often in our society, but I want to believe that that's possible. And I want to have those conversations with people. So when you think about both of these two central values of ours, freedom and civility, what we want to do at Thinker Sensitive is we want to try our best to model these values and to live them out, to model these beliefs and to live them out. It's always going to be imperfect. I'm never going to be able to do this perfectly. I will fall. I will fail. I will screw up. I will make mistakes. But I want to try my best to live into these ideals. Let me set down some practical guidelines for civil discourse and constructive dialogue. I like to call these rules of engagement. Now, these rules of engagement, these practical guidelines are only for a specific context. It's when we're talking about big ideas. It's when we're having conversations with other people about really important and significant topics. Okay, so these rules of engagement are not necessarily for when you're just hanging out with your friends, having some drinks, having fun, just screwing around, okay? I'm thinking about a specific context here. When I'm engaging other people about really important topics, whether religious or political or anything along those lines. Okay, so my first practical guideline is that extreme dogmatism and objectivism is fruitless and unconstructive with very few exceptions. Think of a know-it-all. When someone has an attitude of, I know with 100% certainty that I'm right and you're wrong, this attitude completely kills a conversation before it can even begin. It prevents dialogue. It certainly prevents fruitful dialogue. So extreme dogmatism and objectivism is a huge obstacle to having constructive dialogue with others about important things. I think it's important that we have a basic humility and a basic openness. I think those things are necessary for constructive dialogue. I should hold my beliefs with humility, and I should have a base openness to the other person, to their beliefs. I think that I can do this. I know I can do this without betraying my deeply held convictions. I shouldn't just seek to speak. I should also seek to listen. I shouldn't just seek to teach. I should also seek to learn. The book of Proverbs in the Hebrew Bible has much to say about the foolishness of being quick to speak and slow to listen. Quick to teach and slow to learn. Quick to answer questions and slow to ask questions. Another practical guideline for civil discourse and constructive dialogue would be the concepts of charitableness and equitableness. Charity and equity are required for civil discourse. Think of the nature of straw man arguments. When I misrepresent somebody else's view, and then I attack that misrepresentation. Ironically enough, the hasty accusation and inaccurate accusation of a straw man argument without understanding the full context of the nature of a person's argument is also a type of straw man argument. because I'm actually misrepresenting a person's argument as a straw man argument and then attacking it as such. Selectiveness in interpretation and taking ideas out of context is also something that we need to try to avoid. We have this tendency or this propensity to only see what we want to see and to only hear what we want to hear, and we just discard everything else. Intellectual dishonesty is another thing to be avoided. If I purposely misrepresent something or mischaracterize something in order to propagate my personal agenda, I'm being intellectually dishonest. For instance, if I say that only liberal groups were being violent during the George Floyd protests, or that only conservative groups were being violent during those protests, I'm being intellectually dishonest. We need to try our best to avoid injustice in our communication. When we're uncharitable, we do an injustice to truth itself. The last rule of engagement that I have listed here is thoughtful communication, even sensitive communication. Sometimes we have to be careful with the words we use and how we say things, even with our tone of voice. We have to be careful with both what we say and how we say it. Words can be used in a lot of poor ways, in a lot of bad ways. Words can be used in a condescending manner, a dogmatic manner, an arrogant manner, an insulting manner. Our tone of voice can be mocking, ridiculing, sarcastic, sardonic. I think there's also a tendency sometimes in conversations to just shroud everything with a spirit of levity, to move everything into the realm of the comical. And it becomes a form of evasion or dismissiveness that we just laugh everything off. Everything just becomes a joking manner. And when we're talking about really important things, we shouldn't just laugh those things off. In my opinion, really important things deserve to be taken seriously. And if we take those things seriously, then we should be careful and thoughtful with how we communicate. All of these different things that I've just listed are really, they're conversation killers. They're dialogue killers. When we use words poorly, when our tone of voice is mocking and ridiculing, right? When we just make a joking matter out of everything. When we do that, we kill conversations. We kill dialogue. This prevents civil discourse. It prevents constructive dialogue. I'll be the first one to tell you that I've violated all of these rules at one time or another. When I think about these notions of freedom, civility, and rules of engagement in civil discourse, I can't help but think about all the times that I've fallen short of realizing these values. Any human being who has ideals will fail to live up to them from time to time, and I'm definitely no different. Some of these failures in my past still haunt me. I wonder if yours ever haunt you. This episode, and all episodes of Thinker Sensitive, are available at thinkersensitive.com, iTunes, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content and wish to donate to help us grow our online community of thinkers, please visit thinkersensitive.com.